Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know. I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody. Who knew him, known him a long time. And, he means a lot to me, obviously. He was such a great opponent, it's what you want in sports.
Doc Rivers, heartbreaking hearing that. And heartbreaking hearing the news yesterday about Kobe Bryant. And yes, I'm going to say that it was heartbreaking. How dare I? Because the guy was a father.
What do you stand for?
I sit, especially after trying CrossFit. I sit. But it's really interesting, the debate back and forth from a text perspective.
Yes.
Where some people want me to sit here this morning and essentially call Kobe Bryant a rapist, mm-hmm. and I'm somehow contributing to some sort of a culture if I'm not mentioning that every time I talk about him.
We were actually talking. We're going to bring that up, Greg. You're a bad person.
Isn't it weird? I mean, it's just a weird thing.
It's part of his. Is there not a significant contributor to society in recent memory, let alone the long history of the United States, who doesn't have? What's going to be first when 45, a pretty controversial figure, passes away? Are we going to mention any of his scandals? Are we going to talk about the Billy Bush audio? Are we going to talk about child out of wedlock, or the affair he had after Barron was birthed? What role does that have when we're still not even sure exactly how or when someone has passed away? How do we not just mourn the dead momentarily before critically reviewing every aspect of their human existence?
Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, how quick within Bill's passing?
I don't think it needs to be mentioned within the first 12 hours. Your insistence is that when you're announcing that somebody has passed away in a tragic circumstance, that you must point out,
adding that word.
Well, you need the dossier. You need to attach the dossier to the tweet.
When do you think it should be mentioned, Ken?
I mean, it's fair game to be mentioned at any point when discussing in depth his or her career or their whole story.
Well, can people redeem themselves in life?
Of course. I think that's why you should mention Kobe's thing. I think most people view
him as redeemed.
But
that's not the way they're mentioning it. They're not mentioning it to say, here's a guy who had, whether you believe it was adultery or you believe it was rape, here's a guy who went through this and then continued on with his life and, by all accounts, was a great father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you can look at the footage yesterday of him and the daughter who passed away with him.
Right.
And not like just cry over the bond that the two of them had.
There was footage that had just gone viral a few weeks ago of him sitting on the sideline talking to his daughter and basically mm-hmm. coaching her up. And everyone had sort of remarked, hey, wow, this is the Kobe I'm here for. This is the way that you, quote unquote, turn it around, to go from the arch rival of all sports and a hated competitor to being a mentor, father, and admirable figure. And it's okay to remember all of these details, but just shut up about it for the first day or two.
People think that
it's judgment.
The people who are texting in, the angry texters who are texting in, feel like he was being sainted yesterday. And I don't, he wasn't being sainted yesterday.
No.
People were paying tribute to a great athlete.
Okay, Jason Williams on ESPN, who breaks down crying. He's a great analyst. He himself was someone who had it all, then got in a motorcycle accident, almost lost his life. He stared death in the face. The man swore on national television. He cried. It's understandable. Brian Shaw, former teammate of his, broke down in tears on television yesterday. These are human. Are we now supposed to look at them and say, like, that's a shame that you guys didn't take that platform to remind everyone of what he did beyond just either being a teammate or a basketball role model?
Here's a 207 text that says, read his statement in the sexual assault case. Under modern standards, he would have been blacklisted, but because he was a great player who scored 81 points, he gets a free pass. I don't think he got a free pass. I mean, look at the reporting on his death. Do you think he got a free pass?
Don't think so.
I don't think so. This is Joe from Boston. What's up, Joe?
I think the same reason that people are upset is the fact that he got away with what he got away with because he had money. And people with money will have that. If you didn't have money, then in all likelihood, you're going to end up being a sex offender and you'll never have the opportunity to do the things that he did.
I mean, was he convicted of anything, Joe?
He wasn't going to get convicted. He had too much money. I think the guy, yeah, he did great things for his family, great things for his kids, great things in the community. But if he was the average guy that didn't have the money to be able to pay millions of dollars to lawyers first off, then to make a settlement, same as Roethlisberger. How did he get out of that? He made a payment. These guys are making payments with big money. They already have big money. If he's the regular guy, if that happened when he was 17, before he signed all those contracts, he'd be a registered sex offender, and that would be it. And he wouldn't have the life he had. I'm not saying, he seemed to be a great guy. He turned things around. Good for him. Did he do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But did he pay his way out of it? Yeah. And I think that's the reason why people get mad about it.
All right.
Ken brought up a good point earlier about Roethlisberger, in fact, and how everybody couldn't wait to make those jokes, and everyone wanted to remind you, oh, he's a two-time Super Bowl champ. Yeah, but you go to Milledgeville, and, let's not forget what happened in that bathroom. Oh, that coverage was tight. Yeah, as tight as being in a bathroom stall in Milledgeville. Everyone made all their inappropriate jokes. And, of course, what has Roethlisberger done since? Taken the, gone the turn to God route. It's probably going to be something that's going to chase him the rest of his life, and I'm sure it did Kobe as well. Again, it's the day of. How about just sort of shut up and give the deceased some time to be mourned appropriately, especially when a family's involved.
And again, as part of this is a part of his story. When you look at Kobe and especially Roethlisberger, he came from nowhere, became a star, and then had access to all these parties. And I'm not excusing it, but it part of the reason he got in trouble. I don't know about Kobe, is the stardom, like the initial stardom and the. They didn't know how to handle it. You know what I mean? So it is part of his story. That and the trial and overcoming it, if you believe that, I think it should be included.
This texter says they are indeed suggesting sainthood because the Dallas Mavericks are retiring number 24, and that the kind of thing should be saved for somebody like Jackie Robinson. I mean, we touched on that earlier. I think Nick said he thought that it was a little soon.
Yeah, it's a little much, I think, to retire his number universally. I mean, there's great impact. But Look, in time, Greg, the story of Kobe Bryant that will be told should include the fact that there were these allegations. And then you can talk about how there is redemption possibly down the road in life. You can do something terrible and then turn around and learn from that, touch bottom. Sure. And the only way to know what the top is like is to touch bottom. It doesn't need to be mentioned within the first 2 hours after a freaking awful helicopter death.
Yeah. This is G in the car. What's up, G?
Hey, guys. How are you? First time caller, long time listener. Just a couple things. Just like to hold for 12 hours or 24 hours, then bring all the accusation, it's wrong. I'm Russian. And in my culture, if somebody passed away, you simply remember that person by the good things. You never bring up all the bad things they did in life because everybody has a skeleton in their closet. And let's be honest, like maybe not somebody as serious charges as rape charges, but everybody has the skeleton in their closet. And if somebody's passed away, you show respect to that person, to their family, but remember them by the good things.
Yeah, well,
everybody has the skeletons in the closet. Would anybody like if somebody passed away and you bring up all the dirt they did in their life,
well, sure,
nobody's going to like that.
I mean, people are saying it's different because he's a public figure. Mm-hmm. So that's why people say this is different. Hello, Justin.
What's up, guys? How are you?
What's going on, hey, Justin?
So, you know, normally I call in and I'm a little bit lighthearted, but I just got in the car on the ride to work, and I cannot believe that we are having this conversation not even 24 hours after a guy died who was with his daughter that he obviously was a good father to. Look, anybody that's thinking about texting in or calling in, be a judge of yourself, and don't worry about judging somebody else. This guy died. His family is left with nothing other than the surviving people. This is ridiculous. Nobody's holier than themselves. Like, everybody's got to get off of this judgment bandwagon. The guy died. Let his family mourn, at least for a little while.
I agree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly.
I don't even need to say anything else to the point. No. That's exactly everything.
Wholeheartedly.
Everything I felt.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, so, listen, I spent a long time sports fan hating Kobe Bryant because of the color jersey he wore. But as his career went on, you kind of learned to respect the fact that the only difference between Kobe Bryant and a lot of the guys that we, you know, worship as athletes is he wore a different color jersey. Larry Bird once said that if he wanted to have fun, he'd play with LeBron. If he wanted to win, he'd play with Kobe. And then it kind of resonates with you that your idol as a kid loves this guy that wears the purple and gold. So then you start watching him and you appreciate the fact that as an athlete, I mean, he was the killer. That's that whole mama mentality thing. The most aggravating thing about everything outside of the passing, obviously, he was just doing nothing but being a father. He was going to his daughter's basketball game yesterday, and as somebody that is a father of two kids that both play sports, this is absolutely devastating. You know what? Forget all the other nonsense, okay? Nobody's saying that anything that happened in his life didn't happen. And, you know, I see people online saying, oh, why should we care about athletes? They don't care about us. This, you know, what about all the other people? Nobody's ignoring all the other people that passed away yesterday on that helicopter crash.
No.
But he's a public figure. He's clearly going to be the number one story. It doesn't lessen anything that they did in their lives. I'm sure they were all fantastic people. I think one of them was like a junior college baseball coach. He'll get his due. It's shocking because it's a celebrity and his daughter there passed away. And to TMZ and, you know, these ABC reporters, all these scum that sit there and reported that it was all his whole family that was killed in the thing, and it was Rick Fox and his daughter. You know, these people, they stop being first. This is why I can't stand a lot of the mainstream media. Get it right. Don't be first. Get it right. Mm-hmm. Because despicable people like that take over the media, and now you have all these people questioning whether or not, you know, X amount of people has passed away. You know, knock it off. Let everything come out first. You know, let these, like, this was already devastating enough, and now you got people finding out that, you know, they died when they're sitting there watching something on TV about themselves. Knock it off, you know. But for all the people like that last guy said, judging Kobe Bryant for things he did 16, 17 years ago, none of us are perfect. Not a damn one of us are perfect. And the fact that, you know, I mean, this hit me a little harder than I thought it would because he was a Laker. But this is devastating. And, you know, the guy was a father. That's the biggest thing for me. He was a father doing a father thing with his daughter, going to coach a game, and something tragic like this happened. So I don't care. I don't care what jersey somebody wears. I don't care who it is. Outside of any terrorist on the other side of the world, you know, this should hit everybody in a way that if you're a parent, it should be devastating to you. But, you know, have a good day, and, you know, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Well, here's the other point of view. 774 texter, this show is pathetic.
Oh.
Okay. Let's hear it for Aaron Hernandez next. Everybody can be redeemed, right? Well, yes, there are people who can be redeemed. People can redeem themselves.
Well, there's supposed to be no second act in the American life, right? Yes. You just do one bad thing and there's no chance to ever, ever redeem yourself.
I love how this person writes that about Aaron Hernandez, but the last text they sent prior to that is, the last thing I'll listen to is a Russian saying the way they do it in my country. Like, dude, come on. Get out of here.
It's amazing. It is amazing. All right. Joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline, it is Brian Scalabrine. Hey, Scal.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
How you doing?
Hey, somber day yesterday with the Kobe Bryant stuff, and down in New Orleans had to call the game, and it's just the guy was really thriving right now in his post-playing career. And you think about all the things that he's been to the NBA and to these young guys. Like, I didn't grow up in this generation where I grew up, you know, looking at that Bird, Magic, Jordan, you know, like these kids who play now, they looked up to Kobe. And you could tell just around the NBA, it's just a sad day.
And I think, you know, there was some discussion earlier this morning about whether the games should have been played yesterday. I thought that was the right decision that the NBA made. You agree?
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, everyone mourns differently, right? I get it. But first, this is how I look at it. What would Kobe want us to do, right? Kobe would want guys going out there. Kobe would love the tributes, you know, the shot clock violation, the 8-second violation. Kobe would love that. Trae Young wore number 8. You know, like he would love what he saw. Kobe would love that Kawhi Leonard afterwards, who had 30 and in the game, said, Kobe, I think Kobe, who works with Kobe in the offseason, I think Kobe would want me to go out there and destroy. I think Kobe would want me to go out there and ball. And all the games, and I thought all the tributes, and then what I know Kobe wouldn't want is for us to sit around and listen. I was calling the game, and during the timeout, I'd think about Kobe, and think about being with his daughter and all that stuff. But during the games, when I was calling it, it was just about basketball, which I thought was great. So, yeah. No, I think the NBA got it right. I think that it was the right decision. I love what the teams did to tribute to Kobe and what he meant to them and to the game.
And that's the impact that he would have, Scal, is to take a negative like this and to try your best to always turn it into a positive. I'm sure you probably played with or hung out with guys who, you know, weren't perfect. And like you said, we lionized Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. They're not saints, but the whole idea is to take your platform and try to use it for as much good as possible.
Yeah, you know, when this happened, you have to peel back, you know, the layers here. The first thing that thought to my mind was like the games, the competitor that he was, right? So I didn't know he was with his daughter at the time. I didn't know who was on. We didn't know it was him. And we got a million different reports, which I absolutely hated Twitter yesterday, but I had to stay on it because like, it's like addicting, right, to find out what's going on. But you see, the first layer is him as a competitor, what he meant to the game. So then you start thinking, man, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have ended up like this. I wouldn't have ended up like this. Like Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, those guys wouldn't have ended up how they had to push themselves because a guy, you know, 5,000 miles away, they knew he was in the gym. They knew he was watching film. And they had to go against this guy. And they had to beat this guy because that was the road to the championship. So there's so much that he shaped us. And you know, like we didn't grow up watching him. We were motivated each day by him. And you saw what Doc Rivers said. He was kind of lost and he was crying. And it had to do with just a competitor. And you realize, like, because of the way that he was, you pushed yourself beyond what you thought was capable, what you were capable of doing. And I saw it firsthand with Pierce. I saw it firsthand with Garnett and Ray Allen and Rondo and Perk and all the guys. So it was then you start to think he's right now a guy who does everything he does, and you wonder, how's he going to survive when it's over, like when basketball's over for him? Man, the man is thriving right now, doing so much for the youth, working with countless NBA players to make them better. And that's exactly what you want to do when you retire. You know, you want to have a next part of your life. He was writing shorts, movies. He was writing books. He was just doing so many good things. And then you get really sad when you find out that his daughter was with him. And, you know, I'm going to go play pickup basketball with my daughter. That's like I'm doing the same thing, just trying to give her the best opportunity that she can have. And he's also just that guy as well. And that all adds up into something that's just a really sad day.
And it was also really good for the rivalry. Like, you know, you think about the Celtics-Lakers rivalry, Kobe was really good for that.
Yeah, he's a great villain. You know, he would when you watch him play, you would hope and pray that he would miss. And when he would, you'd be so elated that he'd miss a shot. And then when he did pull up on two guys fading away, it would be a dagger to your heart as he knocked it down. And you could just and he had that look where, you know, he does a fist pump or whatever it is. And, yeah, he was, especially the fact that he played for the Lakers, he was a great villain for the Lakers-Celtic rivalry. And, like, his name goes down in the Celtics' history as a – you know, as a former unbelievable opponent. And I think you go back to 2008 when they lost And they talk about the 2-hour bus ride that he had, you know, back to the hotel, and, you know, throwing bottles at the bus or shaking the bus or pounding on the bus or whatever. That drove him, and that drove the rest of his team to win in 2010.
Yeah, and just think about, like, sure, it was great because Boston hadn't hung a banner in so long and there was a new big three. But 2008 was so largely satisfying because of the mountain that team overcame, of the villain that they defeated, which was Kobe Bryant. And that's what sports is ultimately. It's entertainment, it's theater, it's motivation. And he was one of the greatest contributors across the entire American sports scene of the last 20 years. Did you have any, like, great personal interactions with him, or was there ever a moment where you were like, man, that guy's great, but boy, do I hate him? And then you learn that you love to hate him for a reason.
Yeah, I think that's what, I wonder if that a lot of fans in Boston or just, you know, listen, there's never ever in a discussion in my mind that I didn't respect the hell out of what he did and how he pushed himself to be great. I understood that. And I don't know if I ever said, man, I just hate that guy. I'm not really like that as an athlete. I'm like, whoa, he's good. But, you know, I think fans kind of go down that road. And I think when you – it's almost like a compliment, if you ask me. If a fan's like, gosh, I hate Kobe and all the – and he just, like, he kills the Celtics. I guess it's probably the greatest compliment you can give a guy when you're talking about a competitor. And you're exactly right. Hey, we could have beat – Portland, we could have beat Sacramento, we could have beat Dallas, but beating the Lakers, it changed, you know, basketball, made 2008 so much sweeter.
Well, Scal, thanks for joining us this morning and for sharing your thoughts. And certainly, I think, you know, regardless of how it's reported, what facts are reported, I think we would all agree that 41 years old is too young for Kobe Bryant to pass away, and just the absolute horror of the death of his daughter as a part of it is something that will stick for a long time. So
sure, as long as here's what I took away from it: we just gotta live to be the best version of ourselves. Like, this, he's doing that. He was doing it on the court, he was doing it off the court, and then I'm sure that this day will change a lot of people, including me.
All right, Scal, thank you.
You got it, guys. See ya.
All right. Keep that up the is, great work, Scal. That is radio.com sports insider Brian Scalabrine, brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire.
Your source for off-season Patriots coverage. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the final game in Boston for Kobe Bryant featured his name being chanted from the rafters by the end of it. That was the start of his farewell tour, December of 2015. Here was some of that audio.
Retire.
Pretty amazing to hear that. And also before the game, Kobe gushing about playing in Boston and the rivalry and the respect for the rivalry. So it ended on a high note in terms of the relationship between fans here and Kobe Bryant.
It's funny the Scal brought up Trae Young switching to jersey number 8 last night. Here's a fun little stat, the impact that Kobe had immediately. Trae Young, the first player to have a 45-point double-double with under 25 field goal attempts since Kobe Bryant on December 17th, 2006. I mean, the world works in mysterious ways, man.
Crash one day after Kobe was passed by LeBron for third all-time on the NBA scoring list. Kobe congratulated LeBron Saturday night, like 10:40 p.m., for the feat. SportsCenter now this morning put together a memorandum to Kobe. It was like 4 minutes long, but here's 3 minutes in. Now, you tell me if this is out of line. This is Jeremy Schapp, and they do bring up the sexual assault allegations and charges.
Mamba out.
For all its longevity, Bryant's career was not free of controversy. In 2003, he was accused of rape by a 19-year-old hotel employee in Colorado. Prosecutors would later drop the charges, and a civil case ended in an undisclosed settlement. In 2016, Bryant retired from the league.
And there you go. They jumped to the retirement. So,
that's Tom Rinaldi, by the way.
Oh, yeah, correct.
I don't know. I mean, if that's a tribute, I mean, is that the kind of thing that would be said in a eulogy?
No.
I don't know. I guess it depends on where, like, what you want.
It's a context.
I mean, it depends on what you want from the media. And, you know, with, when did that air? Today?
This
last
morning,
night?
Yes, about an hour ago.
I guess. You want to point out that there was an allegation against him and that the charges were dropped by the prosecutors. But he did settle with her. So, I guess.
Oh, ESPN. I guess it's fine. If it's ESPN. If it's CNN, we hate it. Brennan.
All I'm saying, it's not what I would do. If that were me, that's not the way I would do it. But that's the way they're doing it.
I think they should suspend Tom Rinaldi personally.
Whatever Mickey Mantle tribute, you know, like, well, of course, probably considered the greatest switch hitter and maybe all-around athlete to ever play baseball. Of course, we all have heard that his knee went degenerate because of all the shots he got from syphilis for banging hookers. I mean, please, people, we know these things. Just let the sleeping dog of accusation lie and allow the dead to be mourned for at least 24 hours. God.
Well, we can all turn to Super Bowl media night tonight. That'll cheer everybody up. Is Spaz down there or just Volin?
No, just Volin.
All right. You know, so hopefully he asks a question or two. 1-point spread right now. Pro Bowl yesterday, Lamar Jackson was the offensive MVP, and Mookie trade talks continue to bring headlines up, not only Padres, Dodgers, Arizona possibly in the mix, so I get a feeling this could happen this week now after all these team names have been brought up. It is the Greg Hill Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Hey, Twitter world, it's a sad day. Just heard the news about Kobe Bryant. Life doesn't promise us tomorrow. Doesn't promise us anything. I guess you got to live for the day. Great guy. Terrific family. God bless. Take care.
You're kidding me. I have to hear. This is what I'm talking about. I got to hear from O.J. Simpson about how fleeting life can be. Where are we? What year?
It's
what
the dimension, upside down. I'm telling
what
you.
What dimension are we living
it is
in?
The upside down.
This is what I'm talking about. As a OJ, no. OJ has to take to Twitter to talk about how you gotta live every day. You never know when somebody might kill you.
Tomorrow's not promised.
What?
Kobe was a killer on the court, unlike the walkway to my ex-wife's house.
Are you kidding me?
No, seriously. And he doesn't film his own Twitter videos. You can tell they're not filmed selfie style, which means whoever is on the payroll at Shea Arenthal James needs to say, hey, you know, Juice, maybe we lay off this one for like 24 or 48. Why don't we just wait till like Tuesday?
Yeah. This is Steve from Fall River. What's up, Steve?
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm hearing the word rapist used in the terms of Kobe Bryant from, I know it's his detractors, who didn't wait, by the way. They started yesterday, minutes after the announcement, when sympathetic commentators were rightfully shocked or getting texts. And this guy was persecuted in this trial in Colorado because he was a celebrity. You've got amnesia here on these detractors. This case, if it was a regular, if it was you, Greg, or just an anonymous person, would have been thrown out. This girl's boy, on and off former boyfriend, dropped a dime that she had some problems. Mm-hmm. She had emotional problems. The police knew it. The only reason this thing kept going was you had a DA under pressure not to look like he was giving Kobe Bryant a pass. And the fact that he settled in a civil trial is PR 101. He took his lawyer's advice, settled, maybe even felt sorry for the girl after everything came out. Anybody that's using this now has amnesia and had it and just didn't like the guy. They are not remembering. Called Wikipedia. Go read about it again. You forgot.
All right. Thank you, Steve. This is Mark from Medford. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, it's obviously that arguably whatever Kobe Bryant did on the good side so outweighs that one bad thing he's done in his life. And for anybody to bring that up now, maybe they should have been on the helicopter instead of Kobe and his daughter. Because that's just sickening. It's sickening.
What about Tom Rinaldi and ESPN? They put it in their memorandum. Is that sickening?
random. I hate to say it, I think it's unnecessary at this point. That story doesn't need to...
No, you said sickening. Call Tom Rinaldi sickening. I want to know what you're...
I didn't.
No, the caller did.
Oh, okay.
The caller did.
Just saying, caller.
I mean, so is there any, like, period of... And I'm asking this honestly because there's, I don't know, half the text line that's up in my grill this morning and you're... What kind of a snowflake are you? And... You know what? Who are you defending? And so, is there no period of decorum for Kobe Bryant's wife and his other three children, one of which will never know her father, where you don't have to go into an allegation that was made against him? That's all I'm asking. Is there no proper period of decorum? Because there used to be in the world.
Now, what do you mean by decorum? Because there's a big difference to me between just bringing it up as it happened, as we heard in the ESPN piece, and then taking to Twitter or something and saying he's scum and the guy should never be honored, period. I mean, I think you can have decorum and still mention it.
It used to be that when somebody passed away, you didn't immediately go to the worst possible thing that they did in their life. And unless that was the only thing that they were known for, was for doing some sort of a horrible thing.
Respect for the dead. How about reverence for the departed? Just how give people a chance. Let it breathe.
It's not even for him. It's for his family. Vanessa, his wife, lost her husband and her daughter. The other daughters lost their sister and their dad. We get it. He might not have been the greatest human on the planet. There are people that are grieving him as a close relative.
Well, there's also people who are texting in and asking about how they were able to fly when the conditions were so bad and the L.A. police helicopters were grounded.
They have not released whether the LAPD had made the decision to ground their copters at the time Kobe's helicopter took off or it was after. So that's a piece of information that's as of yet undetermined.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, why is Ken trying to justify this? Well, I mean, Ken is, from a media perspective, his opinion is that it's the right and proper thing to do to mention it.
To mention it. I mean, to justify, like, ripping the guy from stem to stern and focusing on that as the primary thing? No, I mean, I don't think that's right either.
Let's see. This is Chris from Reading. Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Just can't help but wonder if it was OJ that had passed away in that helicopter crash. Would you guys still have the same attitude that we should remember about the good things he did?
I, you know, somebody said that earlier, Chris, and I guess I'd have to, I would have to be in the moment to decide. I mean, I don't know.
How much good did OJ really do? I mean, there was a couple of nice commercials for Hertz in the 80s. He was a pretty good analyst for a while,
well,
but
I mean, is there a difference?
Two and a half decades.
But is there, so let's explore that for a second. Is there a difference? OJ accused of
double murder.
Acquitted.
Convicted found, in the court of public opinion.
Yes. Found responsible in the civil matter.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant accused of rape, charges not brought, did settle with the accuser.
Listen, I will call out a double standard right now. Should we adopt this mentality that if we're going to say, give it some time to pass after Kobe's death before you bring up this stuff, and should we be doing that across the board? Yes, if we're going to have that attitude, we should. However, it will likely be the case that with OJ or somebody different, depending on a different situation, a different crime, that we won't have that attitude. Is it a double standard? Absolutely.
This is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Chris?
So for me, as a father of two daughters, I think what a lot of people don't realize is the impact that Kobe Bryant has on women's basketball. I mean, when you hear the WNBA players and the college players, you know, one of the best players in the nation at Oregon, say everything for him and how close he was, the impact that he had on the WNBA and girls basketball, I think is kind of unmatched to anybody that's ever, you know, retired in such stature from the National Basketball Association. I mean, the WNBA and women's basketball has always struggled to find their place and kind of compete with at the men's level, you know, and he certainly has been a champion for that, that, I think, for me is, as a father of two daughters that play basketball, is kind of heartbreaking in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to lose that. We're going to lose that moving forward.
I feel like, you know, Rebecca Lobo said it very well yesterday when she talked about what he had done for the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And you know, where does that get mentioned? Right after which allegation does that get mentioned after, Ken? Because we're doing a full recounting of his life.
It took you 2 hours and 40 minutes to mention it. Nice job.
When we're reporting
the
news.
You want to focus on the media spin instead of honoring Kobe. Could have been your lead.
And when do we mention the impact that he had on women's soccer, too, just because he was heavily involved in funding and attending games and trying to raise the profile of the game? Is that okay, or should I say?
Save that.
Okay, save that. I got it. Okay,
thanks. Alleged rapist. Hello, okay. John.
Good morning, good folks. How y'all doing?
What's happening?
Mixed feelings. I guess, for one thing, it's kind of the both sides of the fame coin. I always reference, you know, Elvis couldn't go to the movies without renting the whole movie theater because he couldn't just go to enjoy a movie like a regular person. But he was Elvis, so he had the other side of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
With fame and glory comes the flip side, and let's face it, in our society, and with I'm not on, you know, I'm not on any of the social media stuff, but it's such a viper-filled cesspool there. And I get the other thing is that my father happened to be 41 when he died, and for one thing, it hits me how young that is, because as a little kid, he seemed, you know, older, but now as an adult, and something like this happens, it registers how young that was, you know. And there were nine of us. My mother had quite a road to hoe. I was lucky. I mean, it was a lousy thing, but I grew up at a great time in a great place with a lot of positive male influences around me. So, yeah. You know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But I guess it's just maybe we all should sort of look closer to our backyards and our own circle and sort of figure out what's really important. But that's for each person to decide. That's not for me to decide.
Absolutely.
You know.
And I'm entitled to my opinion. And by the way, it's you can bring things up and hope that maybe things change the next time this happens, or that maybe people adjust the way they're gonna look at something.
Why wasn't everybody coming out of the woodwork last week to mention this when anything to do with Kobe came out in a tweet? When Kobe breathed, why weren't people like with the rape allegations? But now that he's dead,
yes,
you have to bring it up.
Yeah,
I just.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
In a garage by the motorway. He was born upon the two upon on a Christmas day when the New York Times said God is dead and the war's begun. Alvin Toffling hailed the sun today.
What did you think of the Grammys last night?
Pretty good from what I saw. I thought Alicia Keys was very good. I mean, off the cuff for a lot of that early stuff, and did a great job with her little honorary tune. A
lot of designer surgical masks in play last night.
What was up with that?
Well, it's because of the coronavirus.
Ah.
The designers have to jump on it.
Yeah.
They got to get on board.
You can spend a good, the same that you would spend for some kind of a Louis Vuitton a bag. You can probably spend it on a Louis Vuitton
face mask.
Mask that will keep
Easy.
You safe from the coronavirus.
Easy.
If you're a celebrity.
Now, is that the Damier or the classic logo?
Greg, would you say now that the Grammys, though, of all of the different award shows is probably the most relevant in that it's like you get great performances, you get moving tributes, and you get the mashups that they've now become known for over the past 10 years.
It's the most fun.
It's
performances.
Yes.
It's not speeches. Like, all the other ones are just speeches, you know. You know. So, yes, I much prefer watching that to the Oscars or the Golden. I mean, the Golden Globes is actually, I think, better than the Oscars even.
God, yeah. Far more entertaining. Because the Oscars is far too self-serious. Look at Seth MacFarlane almost got blackballed from Hollywood because of that, you know, the We Saw Your Boobs song a couple of years ago. Come on. Get it together, people.
This is Doug, who is in the car. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good morning, Greg. How are you today?
What's going on?
Good. I just wanted to go off your thread there of what people would not know about Kobe. And I think it was like a 2015 interview where he kind of addressed the whole Colorado incident and had come to peace. And he was a very faithful religious guy. I mean, yesterday morning he was, you know, he attended his mass. He was deep into his faith. But back in 2015, he had done an interview saying, you know, in the whole trial thing was for him, he's like, I did not believe what I did. It was consensual. It was wrong to my wife what he did, and it was between him and his wife. But he said he left it in God's hands. And I think it's important to know this guy was a very charitable guy. He was a very faithful guy, and he ran his life that way, above and beyond all the things he's done for a sport and for fans. But I think he had a big relationship with God, too. Yeah. That you don't know. You don't hear about. I didn't hear one thing about that in that ABC thing last night. You know?
No, I mean, I think that there are people who are certainly on the text line who are reacting because they feel like they keep using the word sainted, like Kobe Bryant was sainted yesterday or something. And I didn't get that from the coverage. I got it was shocking news. Somebody is 41 years old. A great athlete is 41 years old, you know, has a 7-month-old daughter and is not expected to pass away. So I feel like the news was it was shocking. It was, but I don't feel like he was sainted yesterday.
I don't feel like the media sainted him. I feel like everyone else online and celebrities did. Because if you were reading Twitter, which I'm sure all of us were, and Facebook, I know you're not a Facebook guy, Greg, but any of the social media platforms, it was just, got to go dig up the picture you have of Kobe, right? Post it and say what a great guy he was. So while the media may not have done it, the public certainly did.
Yes, but let's also take a quick moment and survey the magnitude of this person. This is an arguably top 5 or top 10 all-time NBA player.
Where would you could say... Where you like the ranking...
Yeah, but you know, I love me a ranking.
I mean, you can't. I'm not going to entertain anybody who wants to rank anybody above Michael Jordan mm-hmm. ever in that, right? And sure. Not even LeBron.
Okay.
But where do you put him? Do you put Kobe Bryant top 5?
Top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10. Maybe it's, you know, somewhere in the 6 to 8 range. You know, you got your Pistol Pete's, you got your Bill Russell's, you got. I'm going to do Larry Bird, LeBron, Wilt.
You're going to put Larry Bird in the.
Top 10?
I guess Larry has to
talk
be
to anyone who played against Larry Bird, and for 9 or 10 years, they'll say that he raised the game. And of course, it's probably Magic and Dr. J. And there you go.
Wilt.
Wilt. Now, of course, Wilt. I mean, we have to talk about his famous claim to 20,000.
Yeah.
Before we talk about him scoring 100 points and being one of the greatest players ever, right?
I'm sure that was brought up within 24 hours.
Probably because most of us are a little jealous and/or amazed. But to the point, like. Top 10 NBA player, top 5 NBA player, arguably one of the most famous 100 people in America or famous couple hundred people on planet Earth. You can't go anywhere and not recognize that he may be one of the 10 most famous people in China, and they account for 1/5 of the world's population.
Yes. This is Steve in the car. What's up, Steve?
Greg, I have a confession to make, man. I have become the greatest Hillman honk ever because when I heard Kobe died yesterday, I was like, oh, man, Greg's not even going to be in on Monday because poor dog died.
Yep. By the way, my son, Breeze Hill.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Named his dog, Coberson Warberson, for Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
I mean, huge. Yeah. And that's somebody who's born and bred Celtics fan but respects the incredible talent of Kobe Bryant.
Right. We're so Boston sports centric here. We're so locked into our loving our teams. You can't respect or like any players out of there. If you do, it's like, what's wrong with you? How come the Celtics aren't enough for you?
Can we clear up one other social media related thing that's been going on in the last 24 hours besides the 30 Marines, one sailor died yesterday? Yes, that was the anniversary of a crash in 2005. Didn't happen yesterday proper. There's also a video of a helicopter crash spiraling out of control, bursting into flames that people are saying is Kobe's copter. It's not. That is a crash from the UAE in 2018. It's a lot of misinformation flying around.
Now, the Daily Mail does mm-hmm. have some new reporting, Danielle, this morning.
So they are reporting that Kobe's helicopter pilot was told he was too low moments before the crash. So the helicopter, the Sikorsky S-76, took off from John Wayne Airport near his home in Newport Beach. They were traveling to Thousand Oaks to the basketball academy. Took off just after 9 a.m., tried to land at Burbank Airport, but couldn't get clearance because the weather conditions were too poor. So the pilot decided to travel west toward Thousand Oaks. Seconds after he was told he was too low by an approach aircraft traffic controller, he reportedly crashed into the hillside. They're saying that all signs point to a CFIT, which is a controlled flight into terrain, when an aircraft, which is under the control of the pilot, just flies into, you know, land, sea, or a building.
Because of weather conditions?
Because they can't see. So they're saying that this pilot, they say that this happens when pilots lose situational awareness, and they're not going by, they're going by visual flight instead of controls.
Which I think is what happened with JFK Jr.
Yes.
Very similar thing, right? Flying at night and in poor weather conditions and losing kind of your, you know, if you're not using instruments to fly, you know, you're doing visual, then you can be disoriented.
We actually have some sound of the air traffic controller warning.
2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time. 2 Echo X-ray, what are your intentions? 2 Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, but then again, you know, because so it'll now we will second guess the decision that they made to take that helicopter. As a, I've seen people online talking about, why don't they just drive down there?
You have a far greater chance of dying in a car crash than you do of a helicopter crash. And the, it's I love the people that are like, wow, he was, you know, he had the money. He traveled like that frequently. It is what it is. Should the helicopter have been flying? Probably not, given weather conditions, but we don't know all the pertinent details yet. So as that unfolds, we'll be able to make a decision about whether or not it was appropriate, but we just don't have the info yet.
Here's a 508 text that says, I always assumed that Greg's dog was named for the beef. Well, yeah, of course.
That
it was.
Too.
Then I would pronounce it Kobe.
Yes, Kobe.
Is it Kobe? Is that how you're supposed to say that when you're ordering at a
Kobe beef?
Kobe, Kobe.
At an overly expensive
Wagyu,
restaurant.
Wagyu,
Wagyu. Wagyu.
It's well marbled. That's what I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like Greg.
It needs a sauce. As long as there's a sauce on it, then
you don't. No, excuse me.
What?
You
can dip. You can bernaise a Kobe.
You
beef.
Shouldn't.
God. Of course you can.
Yes, you're gonna ruin.
I'll relax.
Your, please.
Oh, don't be. Don't
oh,
be.
This is like the
don't
Pappy
be
mixer.
Sauce. You can sauce anything.
I could take to Twitter yesterday and remind everyone about what happened.
But yeah, joke button. Yeah.
All right. If you want to be on this morning, the number is 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Boomer Esiason was sick this morning. We will hopefully be joined by Boomer tomorrow at 7, Ken.
If he's healthy, he'll be on.
All right, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.